do you follow that? All right. Well, we've come to a time of communion. I hope, has everyone got their communion with them? Beautiful. If you haven't, there's some baskets at the entrance there, or lift your hand up and I'm sure one of the service hosts will bring it to you. I'd just like to share a short scripture in John 17 with us this morning, and it's Jesus' prayer for his disciples before he was about to be crucified. And it just shares some of his heart and his desire for the church. So it's John 17, 9 to 19. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. This is us. And I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world too. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. So we see here some of Jesus' heart. There's so many things that we can take from the communion message. We see Paul's take on it is about reflection and where we are with Christ. But I just love how Jesus, his prayer before he went for the disciples was that they might be one together. He took the cup and he said to all of his disciples, drink it, all of you, all 12. He invited Judas to drink of it as well. And I'm so encouraged because we see that all of them betrayed Jesus that night. All of them deserted him. John speaks about how they were fighting for positions even at this Last Supper. Who was closer to Jesus? Who was his better friend? They weren't perfect people, but Jesus said, you are my disciples. You are the ones who I'm entrusting this symbol to, this powerful symbol of my forgiveness, of my reconciliation. And that's why Paul encourages us to make it right with our brothers and sisters before we come to the communion table, because how can we be reconciled to Christ if we're not reconciled with our brother and sister? This is a cup of reconciliation, a cup of unity as a body of Christ. And so we can't work together as a church. We can't dwell together as a body. We can't represent him if we're not one as a body of Christ. And he calls us to represent him. Further on in that verse, it says in verse 23, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved him. Church, we are the hope of the world. Jesus prayed, he said, I don't want you to take them out of the world because they are in the world. They're not of it, but they need to still be in the world, but protect them from the evil one. How can we be protected from the evil one? If we're in Christ and if we're dwelling together, if we're supporting and lifting each other up. More than ever, church, we need to be united as a body of Christ. More than ever, we need to show the world what Christ's love looks like. And how can we show that outside these four walls if we're not doing it inside these four walls? This week, God challenged me and he said, Tim, what is your chapter of your life going to look like when they look at the chapter called Hillside? What's it going to look like? How many pages are going to be in that chapter of your story? Have you done anything in the church? Are you going to fill those pages? Are you going to participate? Are you going to be part of it? or is that going to be a short chapter of your life? And I just want to encourage all of us, what is the chapter of Hillside going to look like in our story when we finish up? Have we loved our brothers and sisters? Have we promoted Christ here inside these walls to encourage each other, spur each other on even more as the day approaches, the word says? Because it is getting tougher to be a Christian, to shine our light, but if the light remains together, it will cast out all darkness. Jesus is our light. So as we take our communion, I encourage you to turn to the person next to you. I know, like, we don't like doing this much, but how can we be a body if we're not connected with one another? So I'd like to encourage you to take this little cup and to the person next to you, just say this. This is the body of Jesus Christ broken for you. This is the blood of reconciliation poured out for you. God bless you. So let's share that together. Can you remember that? This is the body of Jesus Christ poured out for you. The blood of Jesus Christ poured out for you. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you that your body was broken for our redemption, for our reconciliation with the Father. We thank you for the power that's in this small element, this small symbol that you instituted with the disciples, knowing that we would do this for thousands and thousands of years. It's a mark that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your blood that sanctifies us and makes us whole, that restores us. Thank you for your beautiful sacrifice, for your love, and thank you that you are still interceding and praying for us at the right hand of the Father, even this morning. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Good introduction to the Volunteers Day. I'll just call up Elder Dave Banana, who's going to bring the word this morning. Let's pray quickly for Dave. So Lord, we just thank you for this man. We thank you that he has laboured and toiled in your word, not just this week, but for many, many decades, Lord. And just let the overflow come out today. Just pray, Lord, your word comes forth with power. And Lord, you tell us of your word, it will not return void. It'll achieve that which it sets out to do. So I pray, Lord, and believe and know your word will achieve what you want it to achieve this morning in Jesus' name. Bless him, Lord. Amen.
Morning. You come to church for good news, don't you? And I just want to commend Tim, what you brought this morning for communion. I can't spot you. Where are you now? There you go, mate. You're brilliant. Brilliant. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God, brought by different people, can have a different message, a different meaning, or a richness, or a new thought that you perhaps haven't engaged with before? Isn't that great? Word of God's life, alive. Well, I've got good news this morning. What's the good news? Let's see if we can get the first slide up there, please, Axel. Fear not. Got a lot of fear going on in the world. And the reason that I believe God led me to this word is that I've been reading about God's release from fear a lot. And it's throughout Scripture. But let's just start with this, because I want to set a tone. This is from Proverbs 2, and it's a lengthy bit of scripture. Because it's the Word of God, I think it's good for us to just get into it and dig in, okay? It's the Word of God. It's life. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 22. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure. Now get this, as for a hidden treasure. Someone said to you, here's a map over in that field. There's a little X on the map. If you dig there or somewhere around there, How quick would you be to go and fetch a shovel? There's a treasure over there. That's what this is saying. You look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, the word of God. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. That just defined Hollywood, by the way. Right there. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirit of the dead, spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. You see, there's two ways, isn't there? There's two paths here. The Bible's rich with this idea. Choose life. Escape death. It's rich with it's permeates scripture. Go this way, don't go that way. Head for God, don't go the other way. It's from start to finish, go to God. Run to God. As I've been a Christian over a long period of time, a couple of things have stuck with me over the years. I've got a couple here, but this is one. We become like the person or the things we worship. The things we look at, the things we embrace, the things we follow. Turns us into that. You want to see a crazy football supporter, that's me. When I'm at the football, I become crazy. I actually, because that, or the cricket for that matter, I mean, I get going. I become like the thing I'm worshipping. But sometimes that's not a good thing. You can get so obsessive about it. God doesn't want us to worship him because he needs it. He doesn't ask us to worship him because it makes him feel good. He does it because it's good for us. He promotes that idea because it's good for us to worship him, because we become like the thing we worship. That's why he does it. That's why he pushes us that way. Now the devil wants us to worship him and all of his muck because it makes him feel good. Totally different from the heart of God. The other thing that I notice is what's going on in the inside always shows itself on the outside. So what you worship turns you into something. And the scripture actually says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's going on in the inside always comes out. But today I want to talk about fear. And fear shows itself in our behavior. My behavior. The good thing is that fear can be faced and overcome. Sadly, fear can also be learned and developed, fed. But fear is like all emotions. It has its usefulness sometimes, but it should never dominate us. Now, some have said that fear is mentioned fear not, those words that we opened with, is mentioned something like 365 times in Scripture. I don't know if that's exactly right. I didn't count them. But I've read that over the years, that seems to be the general idea. And the takeaway is, therefore, there's one fear not for every day of the year. Now, if that's true, that's great. If it's not, it's still pretty good. There's a lot of fear nots in there. And it's always underwritten, or quite often underwritten, for I am with you. And I think that's the undergirding issue. Who is with you? We can all fear not. They tell me that in a battlefield, there's no such thing as an atheist. Or the saying used to be, in a foxhole, there's no such thing as an atheist. Because then when you're facing death, all of a sudden you're turning to someone higher. Fear not, for I am with you. The fear has a couple of very positive attributes, the first one being physical safety. So if you're walking along at the edge of a cliff, it's probably a wise thing to have a little bit of fear about going too close to the crumbly edge of the cliff. It's probably a wise thing as to teach a kid, don't go and pull the saucepan with boiling water that's on the stove. Not to build fear in them, but to give them a healthy respect for what's going on there. The second one that's positive, that I think God has given us this attribute that we can use, is godly order. God actually requires us to have fear of Him. It actually says that in the Word. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says it in multiple places throughout Old Testament. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what is the fear of the Lord? So let's get this sorted out. We've got to recognize that God is loving, merciful, and forgiving. He's also holy and just and righteous. Knowing God and understanding His character means accepting the fact that He is just and holy. He has purity, perfection, completeness of character, and He is totally separate from evil. You become like the thing you worship. We become like the thing that we worship. Pure, perfected, complete in character, separate from evil. Who wants that? Am I there yet? Trying every day to be there, trying every day to get there. Because I want to be, when I get that day, when I have to face the Lord face to face, I want to hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And the only ticket in is my relationship with Jesus. And here's the deal. When we walk into glory, and we don't know what day that's going to be, none of us. When we walk into glory, God will recognize Jesus in us, or He won't. He will recognize Jesus in us, or He won't. Understand that really clearly. You can come to church every day of your life. You can read the Bible upside down and inside out. But if you don't walk with Jesus, He won't recognize you. The good news is, all you have to do is accept Jesus into your heart and follow Him. So it's not that hard. It's not that hard. And if it was up to us to somehow save ourselves, who here is capable? Not one. Not one. So if we appreciate, in fearing the Lord, we appreciate His character. That comes with great blessings. Have a look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, or the darkest valley, in the King James, it's the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, a rod and a staff is what a shepherd uses, right? Come here, get over here, stay in line. They comfort me. You prepare a table for me, before me, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. What a promise. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. These are my commands, the decrees and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. The fear of the Lord. This is great. This is great. The fear of the Lord. And then we go to John 4 and 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Perfect love drives out fear. So when we're fearing the Lord, that's actually learning to do perfect love, because we're becoming like the one we're worshiping, the one whose will and desires we wish to follow and attain. We're becoming like the one who leads us. And it's sad, like Tim just mentioned about the communion. I've got Christmas on the brain. Maybe I'm looking for some presents. Anybody got gifts, please send them. Yeah, thank you. In the communion, we heard how the apostles deserted him after having a meal with him. The ones who actually literally walked with him, talked with him, watched him do incredible miracles, raising the dead, walking on water, water into wine, healing the sick, loaves and fishes for thousands. One thing after the other. They walked with him. They talked with him. They watched him. They learned from him. He sent them out. And they did the same as he had taught them, with his authority. And on the night that they ate with him, where he shared even with Judas, as Tim said, even with Judas, they were only a whisper away from deserting him. So there's something in this for us to remember. We can walk with God as closely as they did. But when push comes to shove, sometimes we can forget. We can drop the ball. We can walk away from the very life that sustains us. We sang this morning, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. The very life that you are living right now is because God breathed life into you.
Amen.
The very life. And the very life that you have in the Spirit is because the Holy Spirit is breathed into you. It's your breath in our lungs. It's why we pour out our praise. Isaiah 41 and 10. I'm trying to I tried to make this as rich with scripture as I could get it. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now look at this for a second. There's five reasons this scripture is so wonderful. He says, for I am with you. Do not fear. I am with you. Let's take that on for ourselves. God, you are with me. I will not fear. You are with me. I will not fear. He says, I am your God. Do not be dismayed. God, you are my God. I will not be dismayed. Can you pray that for yourself right now? I will not be dismayed. I will not be dismayed. You are my God. If you are for me, who can be against me? Nobody. He says then, I will strengthen you. God, I'm calling on your strength. I'm believing for that. He says, I will help you. Where does your help come from? I will look to God, to whom my help comes from. And he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He will uphold us. Can you pray that for yourself today? Can you believe that for yourself today? That God is upholding you in his righteous right hand. He never lets you go. You walk away, his hand is ready. I'll lift you up again. I'll strengthen you. He loves the prodigal. He loves the prodigal. By the way, there's some prodigals in our families. Let's just stop and pray for those. Father, those prodigals in our family that know you, that we know they met you, we know that they've surrendered their life to you at some point, but they walked away at the moment. They're searching for some kind of treasures that they don't think that you can provide, but it's in the wrong places, Lord. We lift them up to you right now that they would find their way back to your righteous right hand. Father, we call back those prodigals. They've been deceived. We pray that the deceit would be exposed to them, that they would see the lie and know where to come back home. In Jesus' name. And here's one of my favorite scriptures. One of my favorite scriptures. On here, I've got it in red and in bold and huge font because I love it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Power. Power. Spiritual power. If it was just earthly power, most of us would fail. And we see what earthly power achieves. Corruption, fraud, deceit. Look at any government over any period of time in any part of history. That's what we got. Power corrupts, and absolute power, except in the hands of God, who is perfect, corrupts absolutely. But God has said, I will give you not fear, but power. And in Ephesians 6, it says, we don't struggle against flesh and blood. We struggle against principalities, spiritual powers. God has given us the ammunition and the firepower to beat it, overcome it. Wipe it out. This is not a light issue. This is God's Holy Spirit power flowing through everyone in here who's asked the Holy Spirit to come in, accepted the Holy Spirit in. The power to overcome the enemy at every turn, to not step back, to not be coward. He's given us love, emotional stability. 1 John 4 says, perfect love drives out all fear. He's given us love, his love. Perfect love drives out all fear. And a sound mind. Wisdom, discernment, clarity. And in 1 Corinthians, the end of the 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father, the mind of Christ. That's why I love this scripture. It explains to me the enormity of God in one verse. 2 Timothy 1:7. And fear is better translated in in this verse. A lot of scholars would say that it's he has not given us the spirit of timidity, and others would say he has not given us the spirit of cowardice. We don't run. We do not let the enemy take the upper hand. We walk with the power of God. We walk with the love of God. We walk with the mind of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We're victorious. We can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. That's us. Fear not. Romans 8:35 says through 39, who shall separate us? 39. I beg your pardon. 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written? For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Just think about that for a second. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How good is it? Now we either take a hold of this and say, that's me, that's for me, or we ignore it and say, oh well, maybe. But God wants us to get hold of these scriptures, live it out. Breathe it in and live it out. He wouldn't put it in there if he didn't want us to have it. And yet, I think we do have in the church generally, across the world, we're giving into stuff. We're giving into stuff. I saw an evangelist the other day say, he said, "If for me to live is Christ, when I die, I actually receive the very thing I've lived for all my life. I get the prize for which I've lived. For me to live is Christ. Everybody else has to leave whatever it is they live for behind. Wealth, fame, prosperity, you name it. They leave it behind. But for me to live is Christ. I finally get it. I finally reach it. It's a wonderful thought. In Psalm 18:28, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. We don't have to fear. So I want to spend the next little while in prayer. And I'm going to pray, to start that, I'm going to pray Philippians 4, 6 to 9 over us as a body. And what I would like us to do, again, we're going to be uncomfortable. But remember, we're not supposed to have fear, so discomfort is a little bit of fear. We can have a little bit of discomfort. I'm going to ask you, after I pray this prayer, to pray with somebody around you, next to you, get in small groups, share some time together praying for one another's needs to overcome the enemy in fear. Okay? So this is the scripture from Philippians. I'm praying this over you. I want you to take this and say, God, this, I want to be bathed in this scripture right now. I want this to be who I am, what I become, what I'm meant to be. The bits in me that are empty of this, fill me up, Lord God. So let's bow our heads. Take this in. Do not be anxious about anything. Father, I pray anxiety would be removed from everyone in this room about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Father, I see, you can see that these requests, they're in the hearts of your congregation here today, your people today. I pray, Lord God, that with thanksgiving, you would hear our prayers and our petitions today. Petition for my daughter, for my husband, for my wife, for my loved one. And we are thankful, Lord God, that you can do this and you hear our prayer. And Lord, you say that in verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We pray your peace that passes all understanding would guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. Fill us up with your love, your perfect love. And then goes on to say, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, Father, I ask you to renew our minds. Replace all of the mess that's in there at the moment with whatever is true. Father, lead us through the valley of the shadow of death and into the realm of light and life where you exist. We want to be thinking of things that are noble, uplifting, righteous, pure, lovely, and admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Father, we ask you to renew our minds with those things. And if the enemy comes in and shows us anything that's not that, Father, we want it to be immediately erased, removed, taken from our thinking, so that we can be absolutely dwelling on your goodness, your wonder, your holiness, your righteousness, your promises, your direction, that your peace might fill our hearts. And finally, Paul says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace be with you. So let's break into small groups. We have like 10 minutes. I want you to just three, four, no more than that. If you want to just get in a pair with people, that's good. Just spend a few minutes in prayer, asking the Lord. You can pray that over yourselves again, or you can pray for each other in whatever needs you have right now, that you will overcome fear, that fear will be erased from your life. Listen here now. We're all going to die one day. You don't want to have a fear of death. You do not want to have a fear of death. Listen, because you need to hear this. I had a fear of death when I was a boy because I nearly died when I was 10. Both kidneys stopped. I was on my deathbed, and the faith of my parents, I believe, definitely brought me back. But for years after that, because of what the doctors had pronounced over me, I believed the doctors. Now, God bless medicine and medics. You do not want to have a fear of death. Cast that off in Jesus' name. Cast it off in Jesus' name. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. One day we all have to pass off this mortal coil, get rid of it. And you say, well, you know, I'm a bit older than everybody else. I could be going first. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we know one thing, death and taxes, right? We know that for sure. Cast off the spirit of death. It has no place on you or in you or over you. There is no control over you. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Speak life over yourself. Okay? Let's pray.